Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's gonna heave one deep down the field! It's gonna be to the goal line! It's gonna be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle!
Off to Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye.
Amon Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And El Torre.
Hey, man, fresh off of bye week. Same corner, same time. You know the vibrations. What's up with it, fellas? How was your weekend?
It's a great weekend, man. Went to the Bucks Eagles game. Ran into a couple Stadium and Gale listeners. So shout out to those folks for coming up. Nice. And wondering why I was wearing Philadelphia stuff, the things you do for love. No, dude, it was hot as the Dickens yesterday. You know, I thought, first off, thoughts and prayers to those that were affected by Hurricane Helene. A lot of people here that I know were impacted. My uncle and the community up there in Steinhatchee, I know, got hit really hard. And then friends all the way up to South Carolina and Georgia and North Carolina were affected. So if you were affected, you know, certainly our thoughts and prayers are to you. And, you know, if you consider a donation or considering a way to give either your time, talent, or treasure, I know those communities could greatly appreciate it. But no, overall, good weekend. But it was hot as the Dickens here in Tampa yesterday.
So you wore Phillies. That's a different type of love there, brother.
Yeah, brotherly love. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so Brooke and I went to the Eagles-Dolphins game last year. The Eagles fans didn't treat me very well, but I was nice enough to throw on an Eagles shirt in Brooke's for her birthday. We did this for her birthday.
Okay.
But had a great tailgate before, but great time in the Bucks.
How did the Bucks fans treat you?
Dude, the Eagles fans are our Eagles are buns, man. They are just not a good team. The Bucks are a pretty good team, but the Eagles are bad, dude. Anyway, Bucks fans treated me great. Great people. We were in the club section. Great food, great drinks over there. So,
very nice, very nice. How was your weekend, Nick? What's daddy life like these days, bro?
Well, that was a whole new experience. Trying to keep a baby alive with no power. Our house got super hot. Baby got hot. Shout out to Elon. Was watching Netflix in the Tesla, drinking bourbon from a bottle that my best man bought me during our wedding, St. Augustine Distillery. So the wife and I were drinking on some bourbon, sitting in
the Tesla.
Yep.
With it on. That's on it, baby.
With it on.
Yeah. I think a police officer didn't come by.
Yeah, no, that would be, I think that is cause for a DUI.
That would be a hell of a way to get a DUI.
Yeah, I think I would just get a scholarship at Georgia, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that would work. But yeah, that was a trip. Went 23 hours without power, which I think, even being 35 years old in the state of Florida, longest I've ever been without power. crazy. Like, I never expected to get like hurricane.
That's as long as you went without power as a Floridian.
Well, when you grow up on the mean streets of Weston Hills, which was built well after Hurricane Andrew, everything is deep underground.
Corey, you know that Nick grew up in a household with a generator. You know what I mean?
Like, no, we never needed a generator. Never needed it. Never needed it.
Yeah.
Never needed it.
Yeah, they have their own power grid over there, Corey.
The newest of neighborhoods in Palm Beach County, power goes out in a storm, unless you got the backup big boy generator in the Florida basement.
Well, you know, there's a difference between West Palm Beach County and Broward County, which is the best of the three.
No,
definitely the prestige is definitely in Palm Beach County, man. Trump is right here.
That's just on the coast. That's just one neighborhood up the coast. As a whole, Broward County would be the best of the big three there.
That's debatable. We'll do that another show. I like that.
That's off season. That's an off season show.
Off season show. I'm definitely with that.
Bring on a representative from each.
Yes, and discuss the differences and whatnot.
I think we all know. Third.
Oh, 100%. I like to visit Broward in Miami. Love both, but you know, it's less traffic here, less shenanigans. It's a lot deader here. It's more quiet in Palm Beach, man. So Tri County. I'd rather drive south than live south.
Shenanigans can be found in any of those counties.
Oh, 100%.
Shenanigans are abound.
We got a 5-6-1 representative. It's
harder to avoid shenanigans living in Miami and Dade County.
How many generators do you think Harrison has? Like four?
Harrison lives generator. In such a compound that it wouldn't need a generator.
Yeah, he has individual generators for his different
things the poors have to buy to keep their electricity on. Harrison would never. Oh, disgusting.
Corey, how was your weekend?
It was solid, man. Enjoyed the bye week. I had my son football game. He cut his foot on last Sunday, so it was he was probable, but he gave it a go. Around halftime, he was just like, "Nah, I can't go no more." So they taped him up, and we had to call it a day. But they canceled the game right after that. So the team got in the fight. Parents came off the sidelines, and we're in Wellington. May I add, bro? Yeah, we're not in like the hood or anything like that. Why the hood does visit Wellington to play ball there?
Sounds like you were at the Trazz.
South Florida, bro. It's just intense competition. But players got into it. It got physical. Parents exited. The stands came on the field. It was a lot of shenanigans, man. But I chilled. Thank God my son was out and not on the field when the parents came on the field. It didn't give me any incentive to run out there and whatnot. So outside of that, man, kind of chilled. Went fishing. Vibed out. Almost went to the Colorado UCF game, but had to call it a day, man. So once Junior said he could play, I had to shut it down. But if he couldn't play, I was going to head to the UCF. Colorado game, which was a good game.
Yeah. So I saw your tweet. You think Colorado's for real? I think that they dominated up front. And we'll talk about this game probably a little more because it's Florida's opponent. I just think they dominated up front, but like I'm not ready to say that like Prime has a good roster. Prime has a good team this year. I think
I think he did a good win team.
7-win team.
They play UCF better than I thought. They're better than what I thought they was going to be this year. And I've been critical of him, so I just like to give credit when it's due. I thought UCF would come in and dominate them. They weren't able to run the ball all year. Just from a position standpoint, I look at the receiver position. Let's talk about that later. I think the receiver position, DB, quarterback, you know, line of scrimmage, I thought they're a pretty good team, what he put together on the fly. That's a Porter put together team. And not built through the high school ranks. And I don't think that's sustainable. But this year he did put together a decent roster so far. And they handled UCF. I don't like that game.
Yeah.
You know, on the road, coming all the way from the West Coast, I think they handled UCF. And they were favored to lose by like double digits?
Was it double digits? I know that it was higher than I thought it would be, especially because UCF hadn't really played anybody at that point. Right. So. Let's talk about the Florida UCF game for next week. Let's give a quick Brunt ad read, Corey, and then we'll get into that game.
Greg, what it do, baby? For all your insurance needs, make sure you visit bruninsurance.com or give Greg a call at 954-589-2204. If you have home, auto, life, boats, motorcycle, anything that has wheels or even your life, it can be insured by my man Greg. Again, that phone number is 954-589-2204 or bruninsurance.com.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good time to shop around. And, you know, there's certainly no clause that you have to buy to shop around, get some quotes, find out what's going to be the best for you and your family and your belongings. And doing it now is the best time to do so. So the Gators do head in after a bye week in what Billy Napier called the best bye week that he's ever been a part of, which is fantastic to hear, right? Looking for all the optimism here. But the Gators do go into this game against UCF. UCF right now is 3-1 with wins over New Hampshire, Sam Houston State, 1-point victory over TCU, and then the 48-21 loss to Colorado. Nick, I know you were at the press conference today. You've been around the program, obviously, the last couple of weeks during this bye week. What was the reason that Billy Napier was so excited about this bye week win that we got?
Yeah, well, one, you know, winning games are tough, no matter who they're against, even if they're against nobody. Tough to get a win. I think the interesting part was it's something he hadn't done before. They essentially just like they treat the spring game. They, for that last week before the spring game, they just split the team in half. If you got 120 guys, you split it up 60 and 60. Split the coaching staffs up, so you've got an orange team and a blue team. And then it just makes those three practices every period that you're doing team stuff, not just individual drills, is a competition, orange versus blue. So they did it like that. Graham Mertz, who's been in college, I think, since Dan enrolled at college.
Yep.
Said he's same high school graduating class. Said, you know, he's never done it like that. Because the bye week, you're just trying to fix your own stuff. Like, you go through whatever you've put bad on film, you're trying to fix that, clean that up. And I think the difference this time is, like, hey, while trying to fix our own stuff, we need to continue competing. Like, we're not starting fast. We're not competing the way that we need to. We're not executing. So we need to continue making everything as competitive as possible. Does that mean they're going to run off 8 straight wins? No. But it's something that in 12 years of covering Florida, I hadn't heard a coach say that they had done that. So I thought that was interesting today.
You got to change things up. I do want to give a quick shout out here. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like button, the subscribe button, hit the comments, hit the super chat. But one of my best friends in 4-year high school or college, pardon me, dorm mate and then apartment mate, Ray here was letting us know he lives out in Denver or near the Denver Boulder area. The spread was 14 in that Colorado UCF game. So Ray has become a Colorado fan because of Deion, season ticket holder over there.
Hey, man, I don't blame you, Ray. I almost went to the game myself. Yeah, I was shocked. I don't want to get too. We could continue to buy vibes.
Yeah. But other than that, I think the bye week is just a good time. You also need to get healthy.
Right.
Which Florida needs to. It's interesting because Billy said, you know, because of the new system that we're in, we're not going to talk about injuries. As we asked him questions about injuries, it's not an SEC game, so you're not going to get an injury report on Wednesday.
Okay.
So you only have to do that for SEC games. So no injury report this week, no depth chart this week. Really just insulate yourself to get ready for the mighty Golden Knights of Pegasus.
What have you been hearing in terms of injuries? Obviously,
that's going to be my job the rest of the week. We kind of just took off last week. Didn't expect a storm. Just kind of coasted through a bye week. Enjoyed it. I was able to watch football like you guys watch football on Saturday.
And yeah.
I sat down. I laid in bed, watched the noon game. Sat on the couch, watched 12, watched. I was up at 11:30, dialed in to Oregon kicking off until they made
it. Shout out to me for going to bed early, thinking that Alabama had that game wrapped up when they were up by 15. I was like,
what a game.
It's a fourth quarter here. We're going to talk more about college football just in general, but shout out to me for being an absolute loser and deciding, hey, this would be a good time to go to bed. There's not going to be some miraculous finish in this game. But let's get back into Florida. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say great slate for a bye week. I tell you that. A lot of good games on the TV.
Yeah. A couple games in every time slot. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. So Billy Napier said today during this press conference, he did think our football team got better. I've heard that a lot. So hopefully this is true. We've had three really good practices, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think the staff and the players did a good job competing. I think they competed all 3 days. We're very competitive. That's a word salad. One of the better open dates I've been a part of. I think we're hopeful we've improved in a lot of areas that we can help our team moving forward. And then Graham Mertz said, I think coach did a great job. We split the team into two, like Nick was talking about. It was kind of like a spring game. So we had two teams. Every period was a competition. At the end of it was just for gassers. You run if you lose. But we ramped up competition. Guys are flying around making plays. That's what we needed. We needed to start fast each and every one of those practices because you need to do a better job starting fast in the games. So I think the way we set it up was fantastic. The guys attacked it. We got better through the bye. That is one thing that they talked about. They're kind of slow starts. That's kind of what we've seen just over the last couple of years. They've had some decent scripted drives, but after that, it's been pretty slow. So hopefully this kind of pace, because you're going to play like you practice. So hopefully that's, you know, certainly something that they can carry forward.
What else? I think the only other thing that I really got away from that, I had someone text me like right as we were hitting go live. They said that's nasty work that you were trying to get Billy to compare RJ Harvey to Trevor Etienne. I was like, ah. So we asked about RJ Harvey, who's UCF's lead running back, and he said, "Oh, he reminds me of a lot of a running back we used to have here." And I was like, "Okay, well that's." That's a small number of people. It could either be Trevor Etienne or it could be Naquan Wright.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, I asked him, I think it was the last question of the press conference. I was like, you said you compared him, which one? And he just said, a guy that isn't on our roster anymore. I think Zach wrote that, but that's high praise. I think that's high praise from Billy for RJ Harvey, calling him or comparing him to Trevor Etienne, who
hopefully he pass blocks like Trevor.
I think they have like 92 passes to 209 rushes this year.
Georgia fans were upset that they thought when Georgia put in Cash Jones, they're like, you're telegraphing that you're going to throw the ball. I'm like, Trevor Etienne's going to put Carson Beck on a stretcher if he's out there for pass blocking. So we told you, but let's get into UCF a little bit. Nick, anything else from that press conference? It seemed, you know, pretty uneventful.
No, some of us were talking after. It seems like it's not that like Billy's given up or anything, but we're getting like a lot of like the same, you call it a word salad. We're getting a lot of the same, and you get coach speak a lot during press conferences, but it's the same kind of like word salad, no matter how we try to word questions differently. And I know fans want us to go in there, with like pitchforks and yell and scream at the coaches and be angry at them. But it's like, you have to craft kind of questions. If you didn't get the answer, you're trying to change it a little bit to get a different answer. We're kind of just getting like the same standard answers, but you know, we'll be there Wednesday, Mondays and Wednesdays.
I wonder what he's saying on film to say that Pyburn should be getting more snaps. That was one of the things from the press that I didn't listen to it, but I read on the timeline that caught me off guard.
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. All right, we get into the UCF breakdown, but I just thought that. I thought that.
Yeah, I went through all of the PFF numbers. So during the bye week, they tasked me with one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do in 12 years, which was the 10 best players on Florida's defense, which took a long time to figure out 10.
Yep.
Had to dig pretty deep down in there, and Pyburn was not – in all the PFF numbers I looked at, like Jaden Robinson's on my list. Shamar James is ranked currently by Pro Football Focus the 343rd best linebacker in the country.
That's not what you want to see.
Way lower than Jaden Robinson, who's played a third of the snaps. Who made my top 10 list. Great tackler, Jaden. Shout out to Live.
Who was number one, Nick?
Did Jason you Marshall.
This article?
I did. Jason Marshall. I'll throw a link in there for you.
Yeah, please do.
Jason Marshall is my number one, a guy that, you know, We were questioning, is he a Jag? Not Corey's Jags, just a guy. Is he a Jag? Jason Marshall is having his best season as a Gator, statistically. Tackling, coverage-wise. But, yeah, my list here, I think it was one, Marshall, two, Tyreek Sapp, another guy who, you know, just a guy having his best year. And a guy who, my bias aside, which can never be put aside, STA Pride, has done like everything that's been asked of him. He literally has, at 250 pounds last year, had a nose tackle snap.
Yeah.
Just doing whatever they're asked, whatever's asked of him, playing out of position. But yeah, it was tough. It was tough getting 10 on defense.
Yeah, no, I got, I'll read the list here. Pup Howard, 3, DeJon Johnson, 4, Jaden Robinson, 5, Kelby Collins, 6, Charquez Bridges, 7, Aaron Gates, 8, Shamar James, 9, and Cam Jackson, 10. And you'll notice that some of those guys are not even the first guy off the bench in that particular position either, or starter. So
DeJon Johnson has the best coverage grade of the team.
Yeah, DeJon's played well.
One-third of the defensive snaps.
Yeah, but I do want to give Jason Marshall.
About DeJon.
Yeah, give Jason Marshall his flowers. You know, last year, you know, was certainly a rough year. I mean, even the year before wasn't a fantastic year for Jason Marshall. And I think a lot of fans, you know, probably expect him to be a 3-and-done. He's here. He's earned himself a lot of money this year. I don't know where he gets drafted, probably a second, third round guy right now, depending on how the season continues to progress. And, you know, certainly in his position, he's usually going to be guarding one of the better wide receivers on the opposing team. Now, there's still a lot of great opposing wide receivers that he's got to play this year, but certainly he's made some great plays. He's done great in coverage. He's done great in causing interceptions. So definitely want to give Jason Marshall his flowers for the year. One of the things that they said is certainly preparing for KJ Jefferson at 6'3", 263 pounds, the heaviest starting quarterback in college football, just ahead of DJU, who I think is maybe out for the season. Who knows what he's going to do over there at FSU. But yeah, so certainly preparing for him. Obviously, KJ Jefferson, former quarterback at Arkansas, gave the Gators fits at times during that game last year. So the Gators are going to try to do whatever they can to stop him.
Florida has the secret sauce there. The only person in America that stopped KJ Jefferson was offensive coordinator Dan Enos last year. And as soon as Arkansas freed KJ of Dan Enos, KJ had a great end of the year. And Dan Enos is on staff at Florida as an analyst.
Yeah. So
Florida should be able to stop KJ Jefferson as long as they have Dan's opinion and input this week.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. So let's get into this game overall. A lot of numbers that we're going to throw at you here quickly. KJ Jefferson, obviously mentioned, is their starting quarterback, 52 of 86 this year for a 60.5 completion percentage, 847 yards, 9.8 yards per attempt, pretty high. Again, talent that they've played has not been the highest level in college football. Certainly TCU and UCF are a step above Sam Houston and New Hampshire, but 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions graded out right now is a 68.4 passing the ball. He has taken a few sacks this season. He's taken 8 sacks this year. So, you know, definitely a guy that you can get, you know, behind the line of scrimmage and hopefully make a tackle, but does have a 106.1 NFL QBR. So then go into receiving here, maybe some names that you guys are familiar with, kind of leading the charge over there. Kobe Hudson, RJ Harvey, Randy Pittman Jr., Xavier Townsend, and then Trent Whittemore round out their top 5 in terms of receiving yards on the year. Trent Whittemore, if you guys were wondering, former Gator, 2 receptions, 65 yards. But I think one of those was kind of a shovel pass, kind of distance run, but What do you guys think about the UCF? Oh, we've got to obviously talk about what their bread and butter is, and that's rushing the ball, right? So RJ Harvey leads the team with 525 yards, 7 yards per attempt. He has 8 touchdowns, 1 fumble. KJ Jefferson is number 2 on the team with 248 yards rushing. He has 2 touchdowns, but 3 fumbles himself. And then Ja'Kari Brown, the backup quarterback, has 1 fumble. This season. But what do you guys think about their...
Why does that name sound so familiar?
With Miami. Florida was recruiting him sort of as a second quarterback. He ended up going to Miami, and then it just didn't work out for him, and now he's at UCF.
Word.
But UCF's offense obviously stymied quite a bit against Colorado, scoring just 21 points in that game. But, you know, the rushing attack has been something that Florida has really struggled to contain this entire season. So how do you think that will match up in this game? Do you think that Florida stands a chance, the ability to limit the amount of yards that they have rushing?
I have absolutely no confidence in Florida stopping UCF running the football. Having a guy like KJ Jefferson makes you line up 11 hats on 11 hats. Florida has not shown at any point this season the ability to even just align properly in a timely fashion on defense, let alone then getting your play call, getting knowing what everyone's doing, all 11 are doing, and then having your run fits, staying disciplined, or tackling. 23 missed tackles, I think, against A&M. It hadn't been a huge issue in the year, but it was a massive issue against the Aggies.
I think they had 11 against Miami.
Yeah, KJ Jefferson is a guy that could force 11 missed tackles on his own. Just a big guy to bring down. I have no confidence that Florida will stop UCF's rushing attack. I'm going to dig more into it this week, but I think UCF might have better lines of scrimmage than Florida does.
Yeah. They are a heavy zone run team. Mm-hmm. 101 rushes out of the zone, zone running, and then just 63 yards in through the gap. So definitely something to be aware of, and zone is certainly something that Florida struggled with maintaining on defense, those outside zone runs. So certainly a matchup of UCF's strength and the Gators' weakness.
Yeah, I don't think UCF is even that impressive in the trenches, to be honest with you. I haven't watched them play all year. Watching them play against Colorado, I just wasn't impressed at the line of scrimmage. I think you do have to like get some penetration at the line of scrimmage and not let KJ get going. Once that big guy gets going in the open field, he's tough to bring down. We know that from last year. So I think the defensive line for us to win this game, it's going to like penetration at the defensive tackle position is just going to be key. I'm with Nick. I don't have a lot of faith in that. But this is a good measuring stick for our entire program in its totality. You watch Dion and Colorado go into UCF on the road, and the way they was able to slow that run game down just was impressive, for considering they're Colorado. Like, that's not a powerhouse football program. And I thought that Gus Malzahn, that's where he makes his bread at, running the ball. But that's a team that if you can stop the run, slow the run down, stifle that run game a little bit, you get up 2 scores, they're not the best at passing the ball. And they struggled once Colorado got up a couple scores. They were dead in the water trying to catch up because they got to run the ball for that offense to go. And once they got away and had to pass the ball to keep pace with Colorado, it was lights out for them. But, yeah, I don't know if we're going to stop the run, man. And I don't know if we could get into a track meet like Colorado did. I don't trust our tackling. We'll see. Our defensive tackles are going to have to play. And they also go tempo, which helps their run out. And if we get a guy like Desmond Watson caught on the field and they're going tempo, that's another thing that frustrated me. Watching those two programs go tempo whenever they got any type of momentum, not just no huddle. Like, no huddle is nothing. If you're not lining up and going right away, you're not creating an advantage for yourself. So on the tempo is going to be a problem as well for us. Getting lined up, you know, substituting all that stuff and getting guys off the field, we get caught with the wrong guys on the field. So it's going to be a tough task, man. You know,
you got to do the old Lane Kiffin fake an injury.
I'm not mad at that, bro. I'm not mad at that, man. I know they say it's bush league, but yeah.
The gamesmanship is—it's gamesmanship. Less bush, more brush.
I'll be honest with you, Nick. When I look at the end of the season, I will never care about another team's gamesmanship. So
me neither.
Gamesmanship doesn't win you or lose you games. So, strangely enough, UCF doesn't rank. Pardon me, guys. UCF doesn't rank very high in terms of their run blocking by their offensive line. They do have some what seem to be some pretty strong wide receivers when it comes to run blocking in terms of the way that they grade out, but certainly pass blocking. You know, Nick, I know that you were talking about the trenches. Their pass blocking ranks are all above 80 for their starters. So, I mean, well, I guess one is slightly below, two or slightly below, but for most of their starters and most of their backups, they're well into the 80s when it comes to pass blocking. They've only allowed 6 sacks all year, 8 hits, just 7 hurries. So 21 total pressures. Again, you have to look at the talent and who they played, but also, you know, still you still have to block it's 6 plus a game.
Yeah, it's definitely some of that, but it's also like I go back to Billy's first year. And I think I said last week, or I said at some point, like, I don't know if Florida's offensive line has ever been good. I think you had Osiris Torrance, who was obviously very good. Mm-hmm. You also had a freak in Anthony Richardson, who was very hard to tackle or sack. And I think a mobile quarterback like Anthony Richardson or like KJ Jefferson masks or helps that pass blocking numbers that PFF puts out. So I think that's probably some of it. They also do a lot of RPO stuff, which gets the ball out quickly. Yep. You just have to stay alive for a second and a half in front of a guy, and you're going to get a win, on the film review in an RPO situation.
Another thing that Colorado did, they put Travis Hunter on the island and loaded the box for a burst that run, which is something I think we should mimic as well. I don't know if they watched the game. You know, it was a bye week and they was doing split team spring game vibes, but hopefully watched the game and did some film. Jason Marshall on the island.
I was getting a bunch of texts that Cormani was in Orlando and Jason Marshall or Jason Stallions told us today that he was down there in the stands scouting, a little scouting trip. A bunch of Florida's DBs were down there. And then I had people tell me today too, Corey, they were like, shouldn't the whole team be together watching the game? I'm like, no, you can't even see the secondary on a live screen. Like, they're gonna watch all 22 cut-ups.
I mean, they could also have like a life, right? They have a week off.
No.
Like, it's a quick jaunt down to Orlando. They probably got some friends. They most assuredly have friends that are there at the game. It's okay. You know, not everything has to be married 100% of your time
in a theater watching the game live to take notes.
I mean, just
I think that's the key to like stopping their run game though, is putting Jason Marshall on the island, loading the box and making them win with your arm. You can't let KJ Jefferson just run wild in the swamp. You got to load the box, make them beat your DBs, which I think is a strength of the team, strength of the defense at this point. Defensive line is underwhelming. Linebackers are okay at this point, what we've seen on film, but I think the secondary is probably our strength. The cornerbacks is probably our strength. I'm not going to say safeties, but the cornerbacks is probably the strength of the team. Put those guys on the island, see what they can do, and make KJ Jefferson make, you know, tough throws one-on-one.
He's got a strong arm.
To stopping the run.
He does have a strong arm.
But he's liable to hit somebody in row one, section 203.
Yeah, reminds me of another quarterback.
As much as he is to hit somebody wearing a UCF jersey.
Yeah, he's only, what is this, 8'15"? He's only 6 of 15. On passes over 20 yards this season. He does have quite a few completions between the 10 and 20 yard mark. But, you know, Corey, you were mentioning kind of putting him on an island. You know, obviously we haven't seen much out of the Gators defense this year when it comes to blitzing and really getting after the quarterback and causing havoc or wreaking havoc. But when he is blitzed, his completion percentage is down 13% over when he's not blitzed. So, I mean, those are, you know, huge differences, and that's what can really make a, you know, big difference in this game, is being able to get after him. We haven't seen them do that this year, so there's no reason for me to believe that they will, but you like to think that that could be, you know, what separates this game, because it should not be a game talent-wise. that Florida has now flipped from being a 2.5 point favorite to now a 2.5 point home underdog game from a talent perspective.
That's just bettors money coming in. Like when the lines open, like if you go to like, I think we used to look at like Vegas Insiders, Dan.
But it
would show a bunch.
Yeah.
When I looked at Vegas Insiders, it was like a pick 'em.
Yeah, but it's not just like money coming in. It's not just a balance. It is about how can they attract the opposing team to bet more. But we also don't know what the amount of money that's come in, you know, or the number of bets that are coming in, or you know, there can be a lot that decide these numbers. It's not necessarily just that Vegas thinks that the Gators are a 2.5 point underdog. It's an attractive number to be able to try to draw bets on both sides. So there's a little bit more that goes into it. I'm not disagreeing with you, Nick, just trying to throw some, you know, things out there, because not everybody is doing sports betting. And so that's where we're at. Obviously, not a great game against Colorado for UCF. KJ Jefferson goes 20 of 35 for 284 yards, two interceptions, two touchdowns. QBR of just a 24.9, not what you want to see. Held to, I believe, their lowest number of yards on the ground rushing. RJ Harvey had 77 yards on 16 carries. KJ Jefferson, 76 yards on 20 carries. So, again, not a great offensive performance. And I think that Dion and their team did a good job of stopping them. And I do think that Florida should have a more talented team than Colorado. I don't know if they would throttle them the same way, but just looking hat on hat, Florida should be more talented than that Colorado team that just beat them on paper.
Transfer portal has changed that though. Like the
a little bit, you know, but
before pre-transfer portal, like I think UCF's roster this year, specifically because of Gus and how they've hit the transfer portal, is much closer than, you know, the UCF would have been.
Sure.
With Gus before the transfer portal era, you're just able to get a different kind of player and experienced player mm-hmm. than you were typically able to get. That's why I always thought that Scott Frost should have stayed at UCF. I'm like, there's too much talent in the state of Florida. Like these kids that go to like Louisville or go to, you know, a Georgia Tech. It's like, hey, if they're from South Florida, like don't go to Georgia Tech, come to UCF. Mom can just hit the highway, see you play every Saturday. And UCF could have been, you know, that team that if you wanted to make it a Big Four, like UCF with Scott Frost could have made it that. And I think with the transfer portal, you can probably get close to that, especially now that they're in the Big 12. But like the Big 12 is just the ACC plus or AAC plus.
Yeah. A couple names that you might be familiar with on their defense, Nigelie Kelly, Josiah Pierre, the former Florida Gator that went to Texas Tech first. Right. And then to UCF, I'm trying to remember. Isaiah Nixon, a guy that Florida recruited, and then Walker.
Trent Whittemore. I forgot to give him a shout out when you were mentioned that they had blockers on the outside. Trent Whittemore doing the dirty work outside. Big blocking vibes from Trent out there.
Yeah, and then John Walker. Let's pull up his stats while we do that. Corey, any other thoughts on UCF's offense?
No, I just think we got to play on the other side of the ball. Like, our defensive tackles can't just be absorbing and taking up space at the defensive line. I haven't seen our defensive tackles live on the other side of the scrimmage and be aggressive and cause a lot of penetration pause, but that's how we win this game. That's what Colorado did, is making the running back have to change directions, you know, right when they get the ball, or just causing some type of havoc. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't seen that from Cam Jackson or Desmond Watson. You know, they're guys that can eat up space and free up some guys behind them, but I don't think the type of offense we're playing, that's how you want to play this team. You don't want that running back and the quarterback to get any momentum going the way we tackle. So the key for me, that defense, is Jason Marshall locked down their best receiver, and our other DBs, they locked down things one-on-one, and us cause some penetration to stop this guy from running wild in open field. That's the keys to the game.
Yeah. Aaron, Nick, just answer this question. Aaron Hodges, what's that big defensive tackle or tackle doing? Walker, right? Yeah, John Walker, he's been out for the first four games of this season. We had a knee injury during the fall game or during the fall camp, pardon me. So I don't know if he's going to play against Gus Florida or not.
He's out.
He's out. Okay. So
yeah, Gus said that today.
So he's out. I know that he was kind of not a game time decision, but they were talking about him leading up to the Colorado game. So you won't see him. But, you know, a couple other names, Josiah Pierre, you know, a couple others that if you follow recruiting, you know, have gone other, you know, other places. You know, UCF certainly hit the transfer portal hard. Nick, from an offensive perspective for UCF Gators defensive side, what do you want to see other than what we've talked about?
Yeah, I think starting up front, I would like to see the Gators get the running game going a little bit. They're still going to use the quarterbacks in a similar fashion, and it might not be, hey, you get 3-6-9. Shout out to the Ying Yang Twins. Is that Ying Yang Twins?
Yeah.
Shout out to the Ying Yang Twins.
Sorry, Nick. I'm gonna stop you there.
Yeah, you're on offense, bro.
Yeah. You're talking about
oh. Gators offense. I thought you
said offense versus the Gators defense. No, that's fine. You can use that quote again.
I'll use it. I'll rewind it. You've got to slow down the running game. UCF is intent on running the football. That's Gus's MO. Like you said, Dan, it's a zone running scheme. They run some RPOs. Having a guy like KJ Jefferson is exactly what Gus wants from the quarterback position. He obviously had success at Auburn doing that. But you've got to win up front, make them one-dimensional. They are one-dimensional in the sense that they only want to run the football and want to dominate in that area. You need to change the dimension, the one dimension that they want to be. And like Corey said, like, hey, if you can stop or slow down the run, which I just don't have confidence that Florida will do, and make KJ Jefferson beat you with his arm, then that's the key to victory. But that was the key to victory against Arkansas last year.
Yeah.
Did not work out.
And they also need to make sure they put a spy on him this time. So when he do, like, the third and longs, when they do draw back, like, don't just sit in the zone and assume. Like, no, there needs to be a designated spy on this guy every single play.
Who would that be for you? Would that be Shamar? Would that be Miles Graham doesn't play enough? Like, does Miles Graham come in and be – does Aaron Childs – is like, hey, Aaron, you're going to be playing every third and long, and your job is just to know where number one is.
Yeah, even RJ. You just need, I think, probably a speedy guy if it's third and long. Don't mind the freshman, but you just got to account for the quarterback scrambling and making and extending plays of some sort, because that's going to be a thing. Because I think we're going to get some situations, and third and long has been our Achilles heel for a long time. So on these third and longs, they need somebody to be spying him play for play. I watched a couple teams do that this weekend, watching the Miami Virginia Tech game, just watching teams put designated. I thought spies worked good on both sides of the ball for both of those teams. And also in the Colorado game as well. I think Colorado did a good job with spying KJ. He still got off. He was still somewhat productive, but you know, to let him not take over a game, you just got to put a spy on him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's get
which kind of takes a guy out of coverage a little bit too. So like, you just playing your secondary, your safeties, everybody got to be on point, because when you put a spy on a quarterback, you're taking a guy out of coverage, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like a blitz, but he's not blitzing.
Q Lee said he's not going to watch another Gator game and refuses to buy any merchandise. If you change your mind, please go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall. You can go visit them in Gainesville or at alumnihall.com. They have all of your Gator merchandise, from t-shirts to polos to golf accessories to anything that you might need for a tailgate. Today is the last day where you can get 20% off of your order if you use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. If you're listening on the podcast tomorrow, it's going to be October. It's no longer going to be working. 20% off today. Q Lee, you're going to want to wear Gator stuff in the future. So
Q Lee's just talking. Like, Q Lee will be tuned in.
Q Lee will be back next week with some thoughts on the Gators game against UCF, no doubt. But again, alumnihall.com. Go use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get 20% off your order. It's free money. You're going to buy stuff anyway. It's almost my favorite time of the year. It's the holiday season quickly approaching. About time to get your Christmas presents, your Hanukkah presents, birthday presents, whatever it might be for that Gator fan in your life. AlumniHall.com. Defensive side of the ball. Let's see what we've got here with UCF on the defensive side of the ball. They are led by Nigel Kelly, Ricky Barber, Keyshawn Hudson. Nope. Ethan Barr, Nigel Kelly, and Mac Williams. Ethan Barr has really struggled. He's their linebacker there. Deshaun Pace, linebacker. Both of those guys in the linebacker core just not grading out well this season. Ethan Barr is probably your biggest liability there. He's also played the most number of snaps for him. He has a 28.9 on tackling. He missed 9 tackles so far this season. UCF has missed 35 tackles this season. So I like to hear that kind of stuff. Overall, the team has 4 total sacks, 15 hurries. So they're not getting after the quarterback either. And that's against some, you know, pretty minor league type competition. So with that being said, Nick, give us your thoughts on UCF's defense.
It looked like they had a lot of, almost like Florida last year, like had a lot of hurries and pressures and are just not getting the tackles in the backfield.
They have 37 hurries on the season, yeah. So just under 10 a game.
Yeah, like they're getting there. They're just not finishing, which.
I mean, that's most important.
Happens to the best of us. Right?
Yeah. Well, not you. Not you. I mean, you know what I mean? 10 months ago, you know what I mean? Corey, you watched the game against Colorado. I'm sure you were flipping on to some other games as well. But what were your thoughts on UCF's defense?
Man, they had a lot of time to throw the ball. They started off hot. They got an interception that first drive. So, you know, I thought they were aggressive in that first drive. I was surprised that Colorado's been struggling to run the ball all season. So while, like, the defensive line is just suspect, but our offensive line is suspect as well. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they couldn't affect the passer and they couldn't stop the run versus Colorado was more red flags for UCF. But I don't know how that boasts for us with our offensive line. It's probably the weakness of our team, but there's nothing about this UCF team that thoroughly impresses me. I'm just going to be honest. Mm-hmm. This is a team that shouldn't beat us in the swamp. It just shows how well we're at as a program, that it's even a game and that we're like, you know, that we may get upset in our own building. I don't even know if it's an upset, that we may lose in our own building versus a directional school in our own state. But the team is just not that impressive. I think they're good for who UCF is, but they're not a team that should beat a Florida football program at any point in time. Wasn't impressed thoroughly by that defense. I think they're okay. I think the secondary plays decent. Colorado wide receivers are just next level, so I don't want to compare and get too, you know, overzealous with my takes on that secondary. But I wasn't overly impressed with nothing on the defensive side of the ball. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think they're okay.
Yeah, all of the numbers that they have are just okay. They do miss, miss a lot of tackles. They don't seem to grade out well, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, in terms of the way that they do things from a pass rush perspective or a run defense perspective. From a coverage report, let's see what we've got here. Zaire Alexander, the linebacker over there, XE'REE, Zaire is what I'm going with. He kind of leads the team. Let's see. Antoine Jackson, he has allowed 221 yards. Brandon Adams has allowed 229 yards. He seems like the guy that you're going to want to go after. Braden Marshall is a guy that's let up a lot of yards as well. So despite the fact that they've let up a lot of yards, their pass defense has been relatively good when it comes to receptions to targets and the percentage of receptions to total targets. So again, looking at the competition, probably not great. Let's pull up this We'll pull out the Colorado game, but you know, overall the defense I think is just okay at UCF. And especially when you look at, you know, playing TCU and then playing Colorado, the their defense as a whole went down substantially. If you take out that New Hampshire game, they have averaged a 71.9, a 63.1, and 69.6 on defense this season. So just not great scores from a defensive side of the ball.
And they got torched early. They had to come back. It was a crazy comeback at TCU to win, but that defense got torched early. Offensively, I need to see Florida, you know, run the football a little bit. Just, you don't have to run the ball for 200 yards, but like be effective running the football. Going back to my Ying Yang Twins, I don't know that it'll be 3-6-9, but like talking to Graham Mertz, and it made a lot of sense. It was like Graham's like playing, getting two drives in a row, let me kind of get into the rhythm and the flow of the game. Whereas against A&M, when it was every other series, it's kind of like, I don't know when I'm going to get back in, especially that A&M game. They had like 12, 15 offensive plays in the first half because the defense was playing so well. They'll have some sort of package like that where it's, you know, every two series, every three series for Graham, and then DJ will come in. I think it's still important to get DJ those reps. I need to see Florida run the ball effectively. Mm-hmm. Want to see the offensive line continue to improve, to play better. And then pass, like you said, the UCF's pass defense isn't great. They've got some athletes, but they should not be able to out-athlete you.
No.
If you have, you know, an Aiden Mizell, a Marcus Banks, Chim Dike, Elijah Badger. Burke. Banks, yeah, Marcus Burke. You should have more athletes than UCF, especially out there on the edges. You should have better lines of scrimmage. I just don't know that you do.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think most importantly, they got to just get spread the ball, spread UCF out and get vertical more than anything. We just play in a box sometimes. So I know Colorado has better wide receivers and, you know, they could go vertical, but our wide receivers are not slouch at all. You know, we got some guys that can make plays, but it's the sideways and the bubble screen stuff, which is cool. You want to extend this. Sometimes it's an easy handoff. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, at the running back. I get it. But all that sideways play is not going to, you know, loosen that defense up. I thought what Colorado did a good job of was going vertical early. That first drive, they did a lot of what we did or what we do. Play, you know, sideways, a lot of shift, things that didn't make sense. When they went vertical, the run game opened up and all the things opened up for that offense. So, yeah, we got to go vertical. And also, that ain't just on the play call. That's also on Graham Mercer's mentality and execution. Mm-hmm. He also got to hit vertical throws and be looking to go vertical. I'm interested to see what they, you know, when they plug Lagway into this game. Hopefully in the bye week, they got more chemistry to that instead of pre-made plays and pre-made series that they just want to throw him in just to get some reps in, right? Hopefully they see something in UCF defense where they think he can get off some of his RPO mm-hmm. stuff. But I think it's key for us to get vertical early in the game to loosen up that defense that's already weak.
Yeah, no, Corey, you're right. UCF allowed Colorado to have 104 yards after contact. Shador Sanders goes 28 of 34 for 276 yards. So they were getting abused up and down the field. What were you going to say, Nick?
Yeah, I just don't. I hear you. I just don't. Like, how many games have we seen Graham Mertz play at Florida? And, like, if I'm not putting my money on, well, Graham Mertz, outside of, like, the LSU game, the South Carolina game last year, like.
Well, and that South Carolina game was just kind of towards the end of the game when they had to.
You had to. But it was funny because we talked to Andy Staples, and Andy was like, I think UCF or Florida's going to have to go, like, air raid to win these last or compete in these last couple games. And we were like, that's not what they're going to do, and that's exactly what they did. I just don't. Like, I'm not putting my money on Graham Mertz.
Yeah. Do we know if Eugene Wilson's going to be back for this game?
I don't know. They're like getting off the practice field now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's optimistic to get him back
this season
for this game.
For
the game.
You know, I mean, the streets are talking after the UNLV quarterback said, hey, I'm out.
Well,
the
backup running back said, I'm out. Here's something. I think this would be the fifth game. You'd have a bunch of guys lose their red shirt. I wrote about all the guys who have played in 4-3-2-1-0 games. I think NIL payments come out first of the month. Let's see if there's any news on October 2nd.
Yeah, I don't.
Get that NIL check. Go to Habitat for Humanity a couple more times.
You don't think that the pay, you think it's a front loaded payment, not a back loaded? Like, hey, you did your job this month. Here's your pay for,
I don't know.
Like, you would get paid in October for September. I don't know how these contracts work. I don't see them anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just saying, like, they get paid in the first.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, Corey and I had to take, well, it was last week or the week before that, you know, I think a lot of these guys still have to put film on tape. Like you can be a highly regarded, you know, 4-star, you know, highly ranked 3-star guy. Like you still have to put film on tape. There's a lot of players that enter the transfer portal every year. And there's a lot of players that don't end up where they want to go in that transfer portal either. Right. There's only a select number of slots, right? Eugene Wilson's, you know, he could go anywhere in the country, but some of these other guys, like, hey, bud, like if it doesn't work out of Florida, like Tennessee Tech's calling your name. Shout out Tennessee Tech, you know.
I think Eugene would have many suitors.
Yeah. Let's see here. So I think that, you know, we're kind of all in the same boat there with what UCF looks like on defense. Obviously not a great defensive team, especially in the two games that they played against some formidable opponents. Let's get into, you know, a little buy or sell. Let's do a quick ad read for our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout and get 15% off your order. You can get that really cool corduroy hat. If you have a big head like me or a strangely shaped head like Nick, it does sit a little higher, you know, than some other hats. So just be aware. But other than that, go visit them. They've got kind of a retro jacket. They've got the baseball pullover. They've got a bunch of new shirts. A lot of people have tagged us and stuff that they bought too. So we appreciate you going. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. You'll get 15% off of your order for your first order to that email address. I'm not telling you to cheat the system. Just letting you know. Stadium and Gale checkout at homefieldapparel.com. Buy or sell. So DJ Lagway got three, technically got four, but I think one was to end the quarter. How many drives do you think DJ Lagway leads this game? The over under is going to be at 3.5.
I'm going to go
buy or sell.
I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I'm going to go under. I will sell four drives and think it will be three.
Okay.
Because I just don't think Florida's defense will get off the field enough and that Florida's offensive drives will be limited because Florida's offense or defense has shown week in and week out, year in and year out, their inability to get off the field. And if they're getting off the field, not getting off the field, and UCF will run with some tempo, but they're also going to be running the ball and the clock will just continue running. And if you're giving UCF 10, 12, 13, 14 play drives and not getting off the field, your offense is not going to be on the field as much as you'd like them to be.
Corey?
Yeah, I think he gets more than three. I think he's just going to have to be explosive and get vertical. And I think he just brings some running dynamics to the table. You may want to match the vibes of what they're doing, you know, running the ball, RPO, read action. So I think he gets more than three. UCF could possibly. I don't think this defense is – this is my take, and this is probably going a little bit deeper than, like, buy and sell. But I'm just not buying this team's overall, like, leadership, toughness, you know, like, focus. I know college kids are going to have fun. I put this on Twitter that college kids are going to have fun, but it's a difference between, you know, a team, serious programs, when they lose, they try to, like, you know, find some lock-in. It's like failing a test. Like, if you fail in exams, and which we are failing in the big exams. Like, we failed Miami. We failed Texas A&M, and we put Elf's on the field for the big test. These aren't quiz, pop-up quizzes. These are big tests that we put Elf's on the field.
Did they, and I just did that see, Sanford extra credit, though.
Yeah, and it's just less like bonus points. It's not really
extra
even
credit. You hit the extra credit assignment.
Yeah, so it got you at a C, you know, with the 2-2 vibes. So you got a C right now with the Mississippi State wins. But I don't see a team. Every time I open my Instagram, I see the players in the club doing question and answers, man, trying to go viral on TikTok and Instagram. But I'm not seeing the same players doing any viral plays. Or they just don't look locked in to me. And, yeah, college players are going to have fun. That's cool. But you're not going to see if Bama has lost two games, you're not going to see their players on TikTok. If Georgia has lost two games or one game, you're not going to see their players on TikTok doing Q&As in the nightclub. No. So I'm just not buying the overall focus of this team. You're lacking some serious leadership, not verbal leadership and oppressive with Graham versus saying the right things, you know, to for good PR. He's media trained. I'm talking about real leadership. And I think the young boys like Lagway, the Grahams, those are the guys that you see that has those traits. But right now, we're lacking senior leadership. And in a game like this, UCF is coming in for blood. Like, they see opportunity to knock off one of the big three, and they're not going to come in. Gus is not going to come in with the chill vibes, man. So, yeah, I think you're going to see Lagway just from that, man. I think you're going to get down a couple scores possibly, and you're going to need somebody to be able to strike and get some explosive play. So I think he ended up getting more dry. If we're winning, you see less Lagway. You know, I think if we start losing and UCF is striking fast, which I think they're probably going to do, like that game with Colorado, or Colorado did win, like UCF, when they got down three scores, they got explosive quick, even in the run mm-hmm. game. Like they drove yes. the ball down the field fast. So like Nick is saying that they're going to run the ball, but the running don't mean it's going to be, you know, 5 yards in the cloud of dust, 3 yards in the cloud of dust. No, they get explosive in the run game, so it could get ugly if we're not tackling.
Yeah, they have multiple guys averaging more than 7 yards a carry. So, no, you're exactly
Florida's,
right.
Florida's had a bunch of explosives in the run game. Their defense has allowed some for 10-plus, but they really haven't allowed too many 20-plus-yard huge, huge running plays this season.
You're a Florida?
Florida has. Sorry, I don't know what I said.
No, I was just confirming.
Yeah, Florida's defense. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead. It was something. Oh, Alabama. Well, one, Graham Mertz had an autograph signing last weekend in Jacksonville, Dan's favorite city. That's the NIL portion of it. But also, speaking real quick about that Alabama mindset, Ryan Williams is an absolute murderer. Bro, kill everybody. Did you see what he did on his Instagram?
Yeah, the Michael Vick.
Changed his picture to Michael Vick after beating listen, this kid.
I love to see it. You know what I mean?
This kid.
Two of the better catches I've ever seen.
Sheesh.
You know, somebody make in the same game. I mean, two of the better catches you're ever going to see a wide receiver make, but just in the same game with so much on the line too, right? That's 75.
That's how you go viral. You go viral making plays, you know, splitting defenders, making running to each other, and then you go do the Michael Vick profile picture. That's how you go viral. You don't be in the nightclub doing Q&As with the cuties, man. Like,
hey,
and you just got fun, dusted.
That's fun, though.
It is fun.
You would like your
team to also have loser
different
vibes.
Kinds of fun. I didn't know what you meant, but I remember seeing that that on Instagram now. Doing Q&As with the cuties.
Like, what is going on, man? These are trench monsters. Y'all supposed to be y'all getting pushed around on the field, right? Putting your big diamond chain on, going in the club, doing Q&As, man. Have fun and all that. But you're here to win, bro. And the moment you start losing, like, where your focus at, dog? Like,
mm-hmm.
We're here to get, like, you're here
Vivid
to
Night win Club. Football That's where games, it's at.
Man. Like,
shout out to Vivid Nightclub.
Shout out to Vivid. Passing yards, total Gators right now averaging 288.3. That's obviously with a huge Samford game in there. So we're going to put the over under. The Gators pass for 250 yards combined.
Yeah, I'm buying it. They'll pass for more than 250. They're going to have to.
I mean, my goodness. I'm going to go under. But sell that. Like, if if KJ Jefferson's throwing for 250, you got issues. Massive.
I thought
issues.
You said us. You're saying us, them throwing for 250?
Oh,
Nick,
over.
Nick,
over,
we got to
turn
your hearing aid up.
This over, my bad. Yeah, let me clean that out.
You need to get one of those. We need to get one of those wax candle sponsors, you know, that do your ear wax.
Florida throws for more than 250. Yes.
Okay, cool. Very good. I was kind of surprised by your answer. Gators run. So right now the Gators are averaging 145.8 yards. Rushing the ball, that's tied for 84th in the country right now. Will the Gators eclipse 145.8 yards?
Yeah, I think UCF just gonna dictate the pace, and they're gonna have to. Mm-hmm. I don't think Billy Napier has never dictated the pace of any game we've watched, you know. And I think UCF is going to force our hand. We're going to have to go get some stats, and we're going to get more snaps than we wanted to, just from that standpoint. I think they're going to get explosive on us, and we're going to have to like run the ball. I think we eclipse that. I don't want my take to be too long. Yeah.
Nick,
doesn't mean we win, but.
So wait, that's 180?
No, 145.8.
So that'd be
you would have the Gators at 200 yards of total offense. Yeah, 395.8 yards.
Under. Okay. Go under, just because the math, to make the math work in my head, I had to go under on that. Sell that.
Okay. Defense. Do the Gators allow more than 400 yards?
Yes.
No, 350 yards.
Again, over, yes.
Gators allow 350?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. I was on 400. I was over four. You took the number down. We're staying where we are.
Man.
In the club doing Q&As, man. I don't think they're about to stop a nosebleed.
Shout out. That's my boy owns that club. So I was texting him. I was like, yo, we just gave Vivid a shout out for you. Not a good shout out.
No, it's good for him.
Yeah, great for him. Great for him.
All right. Let's see. Right now the spread is 2.5 points. Who do you have winning this game? Corey?
Oh, man, UCF, like, I can't find it in me to say UCF is going to win this game. They're not a good football team, man. We have more talent. And even with Billy Napier sleepwalking, we should be able to beat this team. But, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But I got us winning. We'll see how it all plays out.
Nick?
What do you got, Nick? Dan?
I've got UF winning. Barely. The Lee Corso. Or whatever he says. Poor guy.
I came in thinking I picked Florida to win all four games this year. So I'm 2-2. Much worse than I was last year this time.
Yeah.
I said in the summer I thought I was going to talk myself into picking UCF.
You did.
And I had talked myself. I think I am going to pick UCF.
You're going to pick UCF. Okay. I like when we disagree so that somebody can dance on the other's grave. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's just what gets the show going. You know, people don't want to hear us. Like, yeah, the Gators are going to score a lot, have a lot of yards, stop them on defense, and the Gators are going to win every game. We're practical people. I mean, we want his ass out of here. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to play both sides of the fence because I would professionally rather not start a coaching search on October 5th. And I think if Florida loses to UCF, like you have to have a press conference with Scott Strickland announcing Billy Napier's fire on Sunday. Like you can't lose to UCF. I would rather not. Like, I've done plenty of coaching searches. Fine doing them. Normally they start in November.
Yeah.
And you're not going through an entire season. I see what Corey's doing over there.
It's a perfect segue. Praying
his downfall to make sure that they don't get in. To make sure they don't get into the playoff. But like, also, like, you can't lose this game.
No, I mean, it's one of those things that obviously optically looks terrible. UCF's gonna annoy the hell out of every Gator fan on Twitter until what? Do they play next year, or is it? I know that it's kind of staggered.
They do not play next year. You substitute USF for UCF on next year's schedule.
I've been watching USF play. Alex Golish is off my list. We're gonna talk about some names and coaches that are off my list now. All right. Well, that takes us to end of buyer. So appreciate everybody. Stay tuned for next week where we will probably not revisit those, but they're in this notebook here. Maybe we'll revisit them another time.
Q Lee asked me about what I'll say one possession game. I think we went by like maybe 4 points, I would say. I think it comes down to the final drive. UCF drives, try to like take the lead. Field goal won't do it, and they just can't get into the end zone. The crowd wins the game, not Billy.
I love that. Love that. All right, let's talk a little coaching carousel. Before we do that, go visit our friends Game Time Sidekicks. Got a great cup here. Corey, you and I are rocking the same cup today. So go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Great people that run the company, great products, ship fast. Fantastic for a Gator fan in your life, but they also have a bunch of other schools that you can go take a look at as well. Great products. Would compare them to anything that's best in the market. That's double or even triple the price sometimes. So go visit them, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. You will get 15% off of your order, and I guarantee if you ordered by today, I can't personally guarantee this, so like, don't hold my feet to the fire. You'll probably be able to get it before game time on Saturday. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. All right, guys, a lot of things happened this week in college football that may make or break some individuals' thoughts on coaching searches. Obviously, the big one, Lane Kiffin, his team looks not great against Kentucky. I tried to watch most of that game. I was at a bar with a number of different games on, obviously, but they looked out physical. They looked out coached in that game. They got caught flat-footed, I thought. I think they scored pretty early on, right? I think they scored in their first drive, but after that, they really struggled to move the ball. But, Corey, I know that you're hoping for a couple losses, so maybe instead of waiting until January, if he's going to come, maybe that's a December.
Yeah, they're not gonna be. I said this last week. I wanted to see them get into SEC play. That first four games was just cake games. And Kentucky defense is real. Just to keep it a bean. Like, Mark Stoops is putting out a legit outfit on that defense each and every week, man. What he did to Georgia, how he stifled them, and he came right back to Lane Kiffin. I don't think the highest of things about Jackson Dart. But it was surprising to see that offense not be able to get off. And Ole Miss isn't as good. I don't think they're as good as people thought. Heading into, I know they made a lot of transfer portal acquisitions, but those teams, like, it just depends, man. And like, I think Cam Ward is carrying Miami better than most people think, right? I think they're gonna have a similar fall off to what Florida State had, just when that quarterback play diminishes. But I think a lot of these transfer portal teams, when you go heavy with so many starters. Why it's like, great on paper, they're not great teams. And I think that's what you got at Ole Miss. I think they could possibly lose this weekend to South Carolina. And then you got Georgia. I'm already chalked that off as an L for them and possibly LSU. Rest of that schedule is cake, but I think they could get three losses. And that's still, a decent season. I don't think that's
9-3 could get them in. Could. Depending on how many SEC teams
I think it depends on what the rest of college football looks like at that point. I think that would be tough. And I think that they would sneak in as the last team. And that would – you'd have to root for some chaos at that point. Because what would their wins be, right, to get in over maybe another 9-3 team? Those are the tough games on their schedule, right?
The schedule's already weak. Yeah.
Yeah, so
they wouldn't have they lose the games that I just said. What would be their tough wins if you're like trying to figure out who gets in and who doesn't? I think they gotta be after losing to Kentucky, who I don't think is great. If you lose to South Carolina and you lose to Georgia, I don't see how they make the playoffs. And that's just me.
Because right now their wins. Sorry, Nick, to cut you off. Their wins are against Furman, Middle Tennessee State, Wake Forest, and Georgia Southern. So Corey's saying maybe a loss to South Carolina. This weekend, they play LSU the weekend after that, and then they play Oklahoma. so that could be, Oklahoma's ranked number 19. They ended up pulling off a come from behind victory over Auburn. I know Auburn's not very good, but still, they played Tennessee tougher than, I thought that they would. And then they go to Arkansas, then Georgia, then Florida, and then Mississippi State. So looking at the schedule right now, they're going to be favored against Mississippi State. They're going to be favored against Florida. They're going to be favored against Arkansas. They're favored over South Carolina, but I don't know what the rest of that looks like. And I don't think any of those teams are good enough wins to get you in unless there's true chaos.
I like Lane. I think we're in like a bargaining phase now. Like what losses? This is the best team Lane's had.
And will have because there's a lot of people leaving too.
Yeah, no, they're gone. They're senior laden, transfer laden. They're gone. There's a lot of bargaining going on. Like, okay, but Lane right now fits right in with the last two coaches. Lost to Kentucky. Check the box. Come to Florida. You can do that here too. But there's a lot of bargaining going on. I think the bargaining of we need Lane to be in Gainesville before signing day, like right after the Egg Bowl. Don't need to go to a bowl game. Definitely don't need him in the playoff. But how many of these losses are you stomaching before you're being like, okay, the most talented team that Lane's ever had vastly, greatly underperformed, and that's the coach we're gonna give the keys to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you're gonna have to do with everybody that we're gonna potentially talk about here, right?
100%.
So, coaches that have fallen off my list: Alex Golish, head coach at USF, Probably
should have been on the list, Dan.
But I mean, you're just talking, you know, a long, lengthy list. We're just talking names here. People threw his name around. He's off. Kirby Smart is now off. Especially after
that. Oh, darn.
He lost. Can't get over that Bama hump. You got to get him out of here,
I've taken Kalen DeBoer off my list, too, just because I think he's going to probably stay at Alabama with the way that he's recruiting and wanting to coach Ryan Williams. I think after that, I think it's, you know, who knows. But those are three coaches that are off my list. I'm just kidding. Kirk Cignetti, head coach at Indiana, formerly James Madison. They're 5-0 right now for the first time. 62 years old. So, yeah. So we're just throwing around names here, right?
I think he's a legit coach for Indiana, but I don't think he's what we need long term wise, a 60-year-old coach. And also, who have they beat? You know, but just from a scheme program wise, I'm not mad at that name. For like in Indiana or like being a coach that other teams pursue, but I don't think he's the right prescription for what we need.
Yeah.
Speaking of not the right prescription, Chucky, I see that one. John Gruden, I've seen that one thrown out at me. No, he can't make it.
No. Yeah, I've seen emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, the emails. I've seen the emails. I wasn't aware of his work, man, with the emails and everything, man.
Yeah. He's an older Morgan Wallen. Kerwin Bell is not going to come to Florida, and fans would be absolutely livid if Kerwin Bell, who is struggling at Western Carolina right now. Yep. That's fine. I mean, if Kerwin Bell wasn't a former Florida Gator quarterback, nobody would ever throw his name around there. Not trying to diminish the thought cue, but if Florida hired the head coach of Western Carolina, who is now under 500 in his time at Western Carolina, Viking hat time.
Q would be calling for his Q would have the Viking hat on midway through year two.
Yeah. Chris Klieman, Kansas State, that's a name that people have kind of thrown around. They went and beat Oklahoma State 42-20. They had a rough loss to BYU the week before, beat Arizona, and then beat Tulane. Tulane's the one that beat the crap out of USF last week. So that's a name, you know, somebody that folks are looking out for. But, you know, I think we've talked about it on this show. There's just not a lot of, like, hot up-and-comer names right now because a lot of them get poached pretty early, right? Like, I think Fran Brown at Syracuse, who Florida just lost a commit to, we'll talk about that. I think he's a guy, but Florida's not going to go hire Fran Brown next year. Not going to go hire Cliff Kingsbury. Florida fans would be pissed
off.
Cliff.
I like Cliff, bro. I do.
Why would Cliff leave the NFL?
To be a head coach, what do you mean?
It's just like the quality of life is significantly better in the NFL.
You see the buyouts these coaches are getting? You kidding me?
I mean, he got a fat buyout and then went to the NFL. Yeah, he literally got fired from a job and then went to the NFL and became an offensive
coordinator. He went to be the offense coordinator at UCF for a couple days. Yeah, forgot about that stop. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what drives these guys, right? Like, obviously, he was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not sure what his buyout was. I'm not sure Cliff Kingsbury's, like, worried about his money. But also the opportunity to be a head coach at the school like the University of Florida, those opportunities just don't come around all that often. When you think of big-name programs, right, like not even the Blue Bloods or anything else, like you think of a school like Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Texas, like those kind of big brand name schools, you just don't have a lot of opportunities at a lot of these places, right? I mean, Ohio State, you know, was from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day, they didn't do an outside search, right? Michigan didn't do an outside search. Texas looks like Steve Sarkisian's going to probably be there a while. Alabama's going to be there a while, right? So you start to check off all these names. For some of these guys, that might be the appealing thing. Right. For Cliff, you know, certainly defense is a big cause for concern, but Florida also hasn't had a great defense the last few years. So it would be nothing new. I don't think that the boosters are going to bring Deion Sanders to the University of Florida either.
I don't think
he fits the makeup of this athletic department and the booster.
No shot.
No, he's just too wild at pressers. He's too candid at pressers. He's too outspoken for a lot of different, not just Florida, but a lot of blue bloods, SEC programs. I mean, Arkansas of the world may reach out to him. To be honest, this offseason, I wouldn't be surprised if some SEC school reached out to him in some capacity, because he's doing, for considering what Colorado is, bro, I'm just going to give him his flowers. I think he's doing a good job for what Colorado is, bro.
Arkansas, just not a football. Arkansas would be a weird spot to see Deion, but with the money that they're getting for NIL from Kroger and from Walmart, specifically for
Tyson,
athletic, crazy out
there. Tyson, Tyson.
You're Purdue or Tyson? Yeah, it's not.
Tyson, yeah. Like, yo, that makes sense. Like, Deion in Fayetteville, weird combo. But
him,
like,
and John Calipari,
the way that they're putting
going up for the local Applebee's together.
Oh my god, we'll address what Scott just said. The way that they're funding their athletic program in this NIL age, like, that makes sense. It would just be like, can you imagine Prime calling the pigs? Mm. Prime doing a little woo pig? I can't. I would die. I would absolutely die.
Yeah, I did like I do like SMU's offense and
their team. Lashley.
Yeah, I do like them. I don't know if he's the guy for it. I don't know if he's ready for the SEC. It may be maybe too early for him, but I do like Lashley and what he's doing out there. I liked
they look great against Florida State. I know Florida State's not good, but they looked really like a solid team in that game.
Correct. Yeah. I'm forgetting the guy, Georgia Tech's coach as well. I like what he's doing offensively, and he's an offensive line guy. We need to fix our trenches, so I wouldn't mind him being added to the list. We just got to put people on the list, so that's what I'm doing right now. James Franklin is another guy I wouldn't mind on the list, just from you need a stable guy that can recruit, put a solid defense, solid offense, and can hire well and has a track record of doing that. None of these guys gonna have a clear resume of wins and losses and you know, January 6th bowl appearances is not going to be what we want, because the coaching carousel has flipped. All right, who are the top coaches right now? Yep. You know,
so my buddy Ray, not just, you know, he brings up a good example, you know, the UNLV head coach, it's Barry Odom. They've got we're going to Nick, before you shake your head, let me finish his name. Former head coach of Missouri. Then he went to Arkansas. Now he's at UNLV. Do run a fun, exciting offense. But I don't see that. Go ahead, Nick. I'm not even going to give my take. You shook your head. Why are you putting your thumbs down? This is this is an audio medium. We get more people that listen on the radio than we do on YouTube. So
my godfather is a Mizzou grad. And I'm telling you right now, the Missouri fans don't like Barry Odom. I can't even imagine what a real SEC fan base would feel like with Barry Odom as your head coach.
I don't think he's the same Barry Odom from Wisconsin, though, considering what they're running now in their offense.
Missouri.
I'm sorry. Missouri. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's where Barry Odom was the head coach.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, now you're
Wisconsin.
He was at Missouri for 16 years. He started off as a GA and then never left until he got fired. Then he went to Arkansas, and now he's at UNLV. This is his second year. He's 38-30 record.
Not even on the list.
I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think he would make the list, but the offense he's running, I like it at UNLV, what he's doing out there.
Yeah, I think Brendan Marion's probably going somewhere bigger this offseason. But I kind of thought that this past season, too. Maybe they wanted to see if you could duplicate it. But there's a lot that goes into it. Some people mentioned Eric Bieniemy. I don't think that Florida's going to go hire Eric Bieniemy either. But this is the conundrum that we find ourselves in, right? It's like you start to name.
I like Jeff Brohm. I ain't going to lie. Mr. Bird put that in the comments. I'm not mad at Jeff Brohm being a candidate, to be real with you.
No, I mean, I'm not either, but he did play at University of Louisville as well. So he coached at Louisville. He played at Louisville, coached at Louisville, came back to Louisville. He left a job at Purdue, which is arguably like not all that much of a huge step up. Like, it is a step up, but not a huge like jump. But, you know, is Jeff Brohm going to leave his alma mater to go coach a rebuild? I don't know. Like, you've got what, Papa John's in Louisville? You got Yum Brands in Louisville? You got all the whiskey distillers over there?
I like Brent Pry at Virginia Tech. That's a defensive-minded head coach, though.
You like Brent Pry?
I don't like that boy.
I don't even know. I know Brent Pry. I'm pretty sure. Like, I know they look good against Miami, and they did win that game. They absolutely won that game.
He had a time management like just debacle towards the end. That was ugly the way he handled his timeouts. He let like 30 seconds run off the clock. They could have definitely closed that game in a better fashion. It was just some coaching things here and there, but don't put him on the list. I'm gonna give you the thumbs down.
I'm pretty sure, and I see Kev here also respond. I'm pretty sure like Brent Pry before the season started was on that top 10 list. Like, I think he was like number two or number three of which head coach after Billy Napier gets fired first. So
maybe DC.
Maybe DC.
Jamie Chadwell. Can I get my double thumb down again? Around?
Yeah, I think they're still undefeated. But yeah, I mean, you start to run through this, right? Lane Kiffin, James Franklin, kind of all of those names that you hear. But there's not that up-and-comer that Florida likes to go get. So either they'll create an up-and-comer and give somebody a huge step up, or they'll pony up some dollars. But
this is what's frustrating me, because when we're naming all these names, we're just like, eh. But when you're on Twitter and you have the people that just hate Lane Kiffin, right? And it's just like, no, why do you guys want Lane? It's a terrible hire. It's like, no, it's not. Like, you look at the coaching pool. I don't think Lane has hit his prime. A lot of these coaches on the list, I don't think has hit their prime, but I think Lane's getting close to his prime. I think with the right resources and the right job around him, and him being able to make certain hires, he could hit his prime at the right program. It just gets a little iffy with Lane, because, and I want to see how it plays out. If he starts losing that Ole Miss, he'll crash out. We've seen him crash out at so many stops when the L's start to come. And I don't know how, like, has he matured in that fashion? I want to see, has he got over that hump? Because if Lane was on really his P's and Q's with PR and off the field stuff, I thought he would have got the Bama job, to be real with you. Mm-hmm. But he's just not, nobody trusts him with the intangibles of coaching. You just don't know what you may get from him in that aspect. Not just the Twitter shenanigans, but just overall, you know, we've seen how he left Tennessee. We've seen how he left the Raiders. Like, everywhere it's been iffy. And now he's trolling about possibly leaving Ole Miss and then taking L's. Like, it's cool to troll like that if you're winning, but if you start trolling like that and then you're actually losing, the fan base could turn on you quick. I want to just see how he reacts to a lot of what's going on.
That's kind of what J.D. Bickell was saying. Like, if you sign up for Lane Kiffin, this is what you're signing up for. Like, Lane's going to get his giggles off on the timeline. Win, lose, draw. I'm here for it. Like, it might not work out.
Oh, me too.
It might not work out, but I thought, like, even if it is a fiery ending, like, I think it's going to be fun on the way down. Like, Lane's just going to be fun. You're going to end up hating him if you're losing, because, like, Lane's not going to switch up. He is who he is. I think he has softened some. I've been told, like, he stopped drinking. He's not, like, when he was at FAU.
Joey Freshwater.
Joey Freshwater was frequenting the Blue Martini over there in Boca. Getting like that 10th martini
that was
free
the word,
card,
man.
Getting that 10th that martini word. Free card Thursday night ladies night, but like he's older, he's dating, he's got his daughters in college. I think his son is supposed to be moving towards her. Like, Lane's a different guy. He's not the guy that left, you know, Tennessee at midnight. But like, he is, that's his personality. That's gonna be him on Twitter. Win, lose, or draw, and like, fans are gonna hate that if you lose to Kentucky and he's firing off tweets.
Yeah,
you just got to get somebody polarizing enough to keep the roster intact and also go and grab some difference makers out of the portal. And you're not going to do that with a name like we just had with Billy Napier. You got to go get a name that's, you know, reputable and players want to play for and be excited to stay to see, you know, the new regime. Because we got some talent on this roster that they need to keep in the fold, in my opinion. Like, you're not going to keep everybody. You're going to have some attrition here, but the mainstays, the foundation of the Lagways off top, you need somebody that, you know, that has a reputation with quarterbacks and offense, because these hires don't happen fast. So if you hire Lane Kiffin, you got to wait a month for them to get an OC. You know, players are both, but if Lane Kiffin's coming in, I think you kind of got the offensive guys settled in, and the defensive guys are kind of waiting to see what happens. But I think he has a track record to keep guys in the fold for a little bit until we figure things out. James Franklin's another one of those names. I think Brom is another one of those names. Ain't that many. We haven't talked about Lincoln Riley out west, who got down by Wisconsin for a little bit, and I got excited. Like, maybe we have in the, you know, who wants the Florida job competition between him and Lane, but he pulled it out at the end. I think Lincoln Riley is another guy that we could possibly, but you're going to need a few more L's from him as well to get him not to make the playoffs. But that's a name that could keep guys in the fold.
I don't know if you can even pause after saying that.
But he can. Those rules, man.
I don't make the rules. Just play by them. Yeah, that'd be interesting when I talk to somebody out there, because I had heard that, like, maybe the president AD don't like him, and the person who I talked to that covers them said, like, yeah, that would be news to him. So, whatever it's going to be, I think you've seen the young up-and-comer coach, like Dan said, like, those aren't exciting names. Like, yes, Urban Meyer was up and coming, but he was also waxing teams at Utah for years before he came to Florida.
Yeah, and I mean, he did pretty well at Bowling Green, and obviously he was innovative, right? And I mean, he also had Alex Smith too, so like that certainly helped, right? But I mean, Utah is obviously not the Utah they are now, then, but certainly still kind of an up and comer. But who is that guy that Florida could go get? I don't know what that answer is right now. You know, used to be Matt Campbell. He's been at Iowa State a long time. PJ Fleck at Minnesota. They've not, you know, really done all that much. Kurt Cignetti. I mean, again, you know, is he apparently
112?
What?
Kurt's 112.
Oh,
in football age.
So we'll see. I don't think that Brian Flores is going to come. I don't think that Marquand Manuel is going to come. I don't think that Rand Carthon is going to leave coaching or being the general manager of the Tennessee Titans to come to Florida. Denzel Washington from Remember the Titans is not coming to Florida either. So we will see. We will keep an update.
Shout out to Coach Herman Boone.
That's right.
Boom. He's got his six plays, baby.
At least got Herman
Boone now.
It worked.
Billy Boone.
Let's see. Pete Rose passed away, Nick.
Yep. Rest in peace to the Hit King.
They should have let Pete in, man, before he died, bro.
He cheated. He didn't cheat. He just bet.
Yeah, whatever.
Brian Johnson, I don't think Brian Johnson is going to come back to be the head coach at the University of Florida either. So keep throwing the names out there, but we'll see. Right now, Florida has a head coach for today. Who knows? Maybe October's the changing of the season.
And we all agree that if we lose this weekend, Billy's out. We all agree with you there, Rod Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And rest in peace to Kenny Matumbo, too. Still remember his commercial, not today.
Died young, man. In his 50s, bro.
Yeah, brain cancer, man.
Cancer sucks.
Shane Beamer, no. Harbaugh's brother, Jim Harbaugh. I don't think John or Jim Harbaugh are going to come coach the University of Florida.
Jim has a show clause with the NCAA.
Oh, yes. I forgot. He's a cheater.
Would not be able to coach for 3 years.
Forgot that he's a cheater. Marcus Freeman, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if Marcus Freeman's looking to leave Notre Dame after being given the shot to take over after Brian Kelly left. So,
no.
Right. Brian Johnson would definitely take the job. He's not getting it because he's not qualified. I agree, but I also don't think his intention right now is to go back into college football, just in general. So let's see here. I think that takes us to the end of the show. If you're watching, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you share and tag all your friends and all of that. Dolphins are playing right now, Nick.
Yeah.
Your score update? We losing?
I think it's 0-0. I'm waiting to go watch the game. Sure. We got the chats talking about lithium mines in North Carolina. So I think we have reached the end of the show here.
Yeah.
That would be a Patreon show for that conspiracy, man.
Mike Gundy, another name. I think Mike Gundy has done a fantastic job getting himself raises by having his agent introduce himself in every potential coaching search that's out there. John Gruden, we talked about. Barry Odom is OC. We talked about Gus Malzahn. I don't think Gator fans would be very happy. Dan Quinn. I don't know if Dan Quinn has a desire to go back to college. He's been in the NFL for a long time.
Literally has no desire to come back to college.
He took an opportunity to come to college to get that DC spot, and then he left after about 2 years to go be the Seahawks DC. He's been a head coach in the NFL. I don't think that Dan Quinn wants to be dealing with NIL. So there's just not a lot of names, and it's not going to be Deion. I'm just like – I don't know how many different ways I can tell you, like, we can yell and scream and shout his name. Like, it's not going to be Deion Sanders.
I'll take Deion over
80% of the names we threw out there, though. I tell you that, man. And but I don't want Deion, but I would
the school out West is going to have a job opening. It looks like Mike Norvell.
Buddy,
they ain't going to West.
Buddy, they are so poor. They have to stay in the ACC. They're not
firing anybody anytime soon.
They might make some coaching changes. They're not firing Mike Norvell. I mean, if they keep the whole 1-11, but
God bless them.
What you got? Who y'all guys got before we get out of here? Who you guys got for the Heisman?
My guy, what's his name? Gentry out in Boise State. My dog is hooping.
I like hooping. My top three. I like him. I think Travis Hunter, just in my opinion, what he's doing. It's something that we haven't seen.
Dog's playing 110 snaps a game.
Yeah, I think he sat out like 30 plays the entire season.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, he had an unbelievable read on an interception. I think him, and then I think that Jalen Milroe is probably number in your top three right now just because of the win.
What do you think?
I like Milroe. Milroe, I like Travis Hunter. I got winning. I like Gentry for the top three right now. I think this is one of the best years as far as like Heisman race competition in a long time.
I think it's going to be interesting because I think if the second Miami is not undefeated or winning the ACC, that I think Cam Ward drops out of that conversation just because of Milroe. Alabama is going to be in winning the SEC contention, playoff contention. Gentry is literally going to have a season that rivals Barry Sanders' numbers and will have to be there. And then Travis Hunter is doing something that I don't know that
I've never seen in my lifetime. Yeah, I think like that play he made against UCF where he's doing things I don't think people understand as a defensive back what he's doing, how he's reading drops and jumping routes, man. He's like covering things that isn't even his assignment, you know. So from a receiver standpoint, I think he's unguardable, you know, and he doesn't look exhausted. The last 2 years I've been trying to see if fatigue has set in. But if no injury happens, I got Travis Hunter winning this thing, bro. He's just too electric.
Yeah.
But hit the pose. He hit the pose last week.
He had to. He was going crazy on your nights, man. He did that on your people.
I love this swag.
if you're not familiar, the Boise State running back, I don't think he's going to win for a variety of reasons.
How good your team is, right? Like, people fall out once they start losing. I just said that about Cam Ward, but like the numbers he's putting up and the competition he'll have, I think he'll keep putting those numbers up. And if you put up Barry Sanders running back numbers,
he's going crazy.
To be considered.
I think he has a legit shot at winning. I got him as like 1B right behind Travis Hunter. I think he'd go either way right now. Yeah.
He's on pace for like 2,300 rushing yards.
Yeah, 845 yards on 82 carries, 13 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's going absolute bananas out there.
Averaging 10 a carry.
I think Cam Ward, once they get that loss, I think he just becomes Shador at that point. Like, if he's in it, why is Shador not in it? I think Shador is playing decent football as well.
At least it's exciting. A lot of exciting names, big brands. There's no like clear front runner right now. There's no like person that like deserves like the Lifetime Achievement Award like Eric Crouch got. So I'm excited to see what can happen. And right, like you said, Nick, like one loss or a couple losses could really change things up with Gentry or with Cam Ward, or what if Alabama, what if Jalen Milroe has a bad game? You know, what happens if you know, Carson Beck. I know he had a really tough start to the game, you know, but if, what if they, I mean, he had a fantastic, you know, third and fourth quarter. What happens if, you know, he really turns it on? What happens there? You know, so a lot of exciting parts of college football left to go. We're only 5 weeks in. So we still got, two thirds left of the Gators games left.
I love the way DeBoer, how you say his last name?
Yeah, DeBoer.
DeBoer, I love the way his development of Jalen Milroe. Like, he looks like a different quarterback this year as well. So
yeah, he's got a ton of confidence too. Yeah,
100%.
But that was an exciting game. But all right, guys. Well, we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. Appreciate you guys all for watching.
Maybe he's the firing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.